Hello, this is David Cohen, and I'm the London Bureau Chief for MyMac.com. Welcome to Fenestration, my guide to using a Mac in a Windows world. This is Fenestration number 4, and today I'm going to talk about a few things that were mentioned at the Apple Worldwide Developers Conference, which occurred last week in California. The first piece of news is that Microsoft announced that they are not planning to ship a version of Virtual PC that will run on Intel Macs. Now, when the Intel Macs first launched, Microsoft did in fact suggest that they were developing a version of Virtual PC that would run on the Intel platform. Of course, back then there was no Bootcamp and there was no Parallels virtualization software either, so in fact Microsoft were at the time considered to be pretty much the only game in town if you wanted to run Windows on an Intel Mac. Microsoft claimed that developing a version of Virtual PC for the Intel Mac would affect be a version 1.0 product, i.e. something they developed from scratch, rather than being a port of the existing software. That's fine, except that Parallels of course ported their existing Windows software to the Mac relatively easily. They reckon it took them about 3 months. And you would expect the Microsoft development team to be considerably bigger than something Parallels could field. But hey, that's what they're saying. Who am I to argue? Users of Virtual PC on the PowerPC platform should be reassured by the fact that Microsoft have given a support commitment to these users, though of course they haven't given a timescale for how long that support will continue to exist. So you're supportive for the moment, but watch this space. Obviously, as people migrate away from PowerPC machines to Intel, you can expect Microsoft to gradually scale down their support for that older platform as it will become an end-of-life product. Another announcement that was made by a different vendor at WWDC was from a company called VMware. Now, VMware, as their name suggests, VM, Virtual Machine Ware, are very big on the Intel platform for Windows in virtualization software. VMware have committed to bringing their own virtualization product for the Mac to the Intel platform. You can go to VMware's site and sign up for a pre-beta registration. They expect the beta to be available later on this year. VMware are much more focused on enterprise systems. A typical VMware installation involves a large server running several instances of virtual servers. So you can have a file server, a print server, a DHCP server, and a web server all running on the same physical hardware, but partitioned into separate virtual machines. However, they are pretty much the acknowledged experts in doing virtualization, and so their commitment to the Mac platform now to bring a virtualization product to the Mac is a very interesting development. Of course, Parallels already have a foot in this market as they have a product shipping. However, the interest for VMware is the fact that a VMware piece of virtualization software should be able to run any of their standard VMware appliances. These are pre-built systems that you can literally download, install into a VMware server or desktop installation, and just run straight from the bat without having to do any configuration or reinstallation. They have an active community that develops these VMware appliances and makes them available to VMware users. The other thing of interest is that VMware's sales strategy in the Windows market is to sell the high-end server software licenses, but to make the rest of the product range available for free. Obviously, if they were to adopt this platform for the Mac, that would undercut Parallels on the pricing point quite significantly, though they were careful in their announcement not to make any commitments as to how they might deliver the software to the market, so we'll have to watch this space and see. Parallels themselves were not to be caught napping by these announcements, however. They made two separate announcements which were both of interest to users of their software. The first one is that they issued a beta of an update to the current Parallels desktop product. The beta is available to users of the existing product direct from their website at the moment, though Parallels have indicated that they expect to ship a final production update to users within the next couple of weeks. Now, this is interesting because it shows that Parallels are continuing to maintain their very aggressive development, which was what they did when they first launched the software. The software was launched a day after Bootcamp in terms of a beta, and beta updates were issued on a pretty much a week or bi-weekly basis from that point on until they went into production. Every beta we saw increased functionality and improvements based directly on user feedback, so we really felt it was quite an interactive process. This interactive trend seems to be continuing, as the update they have issued addresses several problems that have been raised by users of the production product, namely poor USB performance and poor graphics performance. These appear to have been improved in the beta, and so I'm sure that the production release of the update will be an update that everybody who runs Parallels will really want to download and install. But that wasn't it for Parallels. They also issued a press statement giving a bit of an idea for their development roadmap going forward. And clearly, this roadmap has been affected by the VMware announcement I talked about a couple of minutes ago. Parallels have committed to improving 3D graphics support within their virtualization environment. Currently, there isn't really any 3D graphics support, so if you want to run games or anything that uses DirectX 3D graphics, you can't. They say that they're going to look to put this into a future update of the software, probably the next release. Something else that they're working on for the next release of the software is the ability to install Windows Vista into a virtual environment. This does not work at present because the Parallels virtual environment presented to a Vista installation does not appear to Vista to have the correct hardware required to run the operating system. As I said, Parallels are going to look to change this, and the 3D support I talked about a minute ago will also help, as Vista has a new fancy 3D graphics interface called Aero Glass. Everybody who wants to run Vista really wants to get the benefit of that interface, and so 3D graphics support within Parallels will be required to make Vista run. No word from Parallels in their press release as to whether this will be a paid-for upgrade or will be made available free to existing users. But Parallels do have a track record of free betas and preferential pricing to beta users, so that's probably not something to worry about at this stage. Now that's two segments back-to-back covering Windows virtualization or emulation issues, so the next segment we'll try and get back to issues which affect Mac OS X users generally, rather than people trying to run Windows on their Macs. That's going to do it for this session. As always, questions or comments to davidcohen@mymac.com. Until the next time.
Years ago, Mike Wallinga and I did a comparative review of a bunch of web-based email services like Yahoo Mail and Hotmail. I've never been a fan of Hotmail or Yahoo Mail. I know some people use them. I don't. The two services that I use and that I can recommend on Nemo's MyMac.com podcast reviews you can use that won't make you snooze are from Google, and that's called Gmail or mail.google.com or Gmail, G-M-A-I-L, gmail.com. The other one that I use was originally called Mail City, but now it's called mail.lycos.com. That's mail.lycos.com. They are essentially the same. You get ads. It's a good web-based email service. You do not need an invitation to join the Lycos mail service, but you will have some ads unless you pay a few bucks a year for the premium Lycos mail service. With Gmail, you do get some ads, but they're so inconsequential. And I mean, basically, I don't even notice that they're there. If you want to get a Gmail account, you can email me. Just like Tim says, you can email him, but you can email me at our new No Snooze Gmail account, which is nosnooze@gmail.com. I'll spell it. That's NOSNOOZE, nosnooze@gmail.com. That really is the best. The mail.lycos.com, I've been using it for years. I'm comfortable with it. It works fine, but to tell you the truth, if I were to rate that, it might be 3.5 or 4 out of 5, while the Gmail service I would rate at 4 to 4.5 out of 5. The one thing that the premium Lycos service has, they've just upgraded it, and you can get 5 gigabytes of storage. That's really a lot. Each of the web-based email services is playing catch-up with one another as far as the storage capacity. But for no money down, you can have a Gmail account, which is really the preferred account, and you can have your mail forwarded to any other email address you like. So, nosnooze@gmail.com is the new address for any comments on our mymac.com, Nemo's What's it called? It's called reviews you can use that won't make you snooze. And thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you listening to the new format of our podcast. John Nemo, signing off.
And that wraps up My Mac Mini Podcast number 4. Robert Hazelrig is on vacation this week, and we had some technical difficulties with the dashboard minute number 47, so we'll play that next week. In the meantime, make sure you check out the MyMac.com podcast, released online every Thursday morning. And this is a reminder for those who do listen to the other podcasts, we are going to be recording our 100th weekly episode of the MyMac.com podcast live in Grand Rapids, Michigan, September 23rd, 2006. At 3 p.m. And I really, really hope that some of you guys come on out and join me at the Apple Store. We are giving away some very cool things. I've already got 3 things ready to go, free. All you got to do is show up, and there's a good possibility you're going to walk away with something. We're talking to a few other companies, so we'll see what we can do. And if you own a company or you're in charge of some product, and you would like to give it away on our 100th episode, yeah, I mean, you know, it would be cooler if it was being broadcast live on the internet and we could have every listener have an opportunity to get something free. But this is just the first time we're broadcasting live from an event, and it's, you know, we're kind of doing it to meet some of the people out there and, you know, get a little more active live and in person. So it's going to be fun. It should be a fun show to record. And the 100 episodes actually going to be broken up into 2 separate episodes, because not only are we going to be broadcasting live from the Apple Store, we have some feedback to play from past guests, some staff members, on what it means to be a Mac user. We'd love to hear from you. What does it mean to be a Mac user to you? There's 2 ways that you can submit your stories, ideas, that sort of thing. Simply send me an MP3 file with what it means to be a Mac user to you. You can send it to tim@mymac.com, or you can simply call our phone number and leave a voice message, and we will play it on the show. The number is 1-801-938-5559. No, it's not a free number. I wish it was. But those cost a lot of money, and a lot of money is one thing that no independent publisher seems to have enough of, or in my case, any. We will plan on going to Macworld Expo in January, so hopefully we'll do some live broadcasts from the showroom floor there and give a lot of things away. That would be an awful lot of fun. But the first chance to meet us in person is going to be September 23rd, 2006, at the Grand Rapids, Michigan Apple Store. This podcast has been brought to you by SmallDog.com. If you need an iPod, a new Mac, maybe even just a bag for your Mac, check out SmallDog.com. If you're updating your current Mac and you need some more RAM, and let's face it, who doesn't need more RAM, check out RamJet.com. Or if you have a website and you're looking to move it to a more reliable, customer service-friendly company, check out Innotech.com, Inno-Tech, Innotech.com. We've been hosting our website there for over 8 years now. The website being, of course, mymac.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.